Jr., Alice M. Rogers. Of Woburn, Josephine B. Clancy, Robert Arthur Bob Laval Sr., Rita Ann Delaney Reagan, and of Worcester, Jaffrey Cosbum. This concludes the death notices for Wednesday, November 30th.
This is the Talking Information Center, a window to independence through local volunteers reading over 300 newspapers, magazines, and books specific to your community.
Now available on your smart speaker by saying, play radio station Talking Information Center.
For comments and more information, call 781-834-4400 or visit ticnetwork.org.
Thank you for listening.
WRS Woodward, WRS LP Pittsfield, WLO Monterey, WVAF, FLM, DJ Birmingham.
And let's begin today's reading of the Boston Herald for this Wednesday, the 30th of November, 2022, and we say hello today to Ed.
Thank you, John, and good morning, all. Storm Whips In Today by Rick Sobey. Batten down the hatches, local meteorologists are warning that power outages are possible in the next couple of days as strong, potentially damaging winds are expected to rip through the region. Wind gusts could hit as high as 55 miles per hour. The approaching cold front will also bring a period of heavy soaking rain to Massachusetts, dumping 1 inch of rain or more across the area. Everywhere we'll have an opportunity to see 40 to 50 mile per hour winds. Rob Magnina, meteorologist at the National Weather Service's Boston office, told the Herald on Tuesday. When there are 50 mile per hour winds, power outages are a possibility, he later added. The strongest winds are likely to happen between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. today, then a second round of winds on Thursday afternoon. Strong, potentially damaging winds are expected on Wednesday and Thursday, with wind gusts as high as 55 miles per hour possible in southeast Massachusetts, NWS Boston tweeted. The National Weather Service has issued a wind advisory ahead of the blustery conditions. National Weather Service warns that the gusty winds could blow around unsecured objects, tree limbs might topple, and power outages may result. Use extra caution when driving, especially if operating a high-profile vehicle, reads the National Weather Service wind advisory. Secure outdoor objects. A gale warning is also in effect, with forecasters predicting 2 to 4 foot seas in Massachusetts coastal waters. The strong winds will spark hazardous seas, which could capsize or damage vessels and reduce visibility. Mariners should alter plans to avoid these hazardous conditions, reads the National Weather Service gale warning. Remain in port, seek safe harbor, alter course, and/or secure the vessel for severe conditions. The widespread soaking rain is expected to overspread the region roughly between noon and 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Other than some brief typical ponding of water on some roadways, no significant flooding issues are expected. Temperatures should jump into the upper 50s as the rain moves in. Then, overnight into Thursday, temperatures should drop into the 30s amid the windy conditions. Wind gusts of 25 to 40 miles an hour will persist for much of the overnight hours as wind chills will plummet into the upper teens to the mid-20s. Thursday will be a dry day, but more gusty winds, even as high as 50 miles per hour again, will develop in the wake of the cold front. The Patriots host the Bills Thursday night, and the Pats last year won in Buffalo during a windstorm. But on Thursday, the strongest winds are expected to settle down after sunset ahead of kickoff. From the World Cup, Pulisic goal advances U.S. with 1-0 victory over Iran by Ronald Blum. Doha, Qatar. Christian Pulisic kicked the ball, scored the goal, and then crashed into the goalkeeper, a collision that sent the American star to the hospital and the United States into the second round of the World Cup. More than an hour later, he contacted his teammates by FaceTime to join the celebration. Pulisic's 38th minute goal held up, and the United States beat Iran 1-0.
the oceans every year. Plastics kill more than 1 million sea animals annually. That's what I said. Consider some of these facts courtesy of eco-friendly habits. Yes, that was what I just said. Environmental volunteering, which refers to work undertaken to benefit the natural environment, may be the right opportunity for those looking to get involved. Here are some volunteering efforts and groups that champion environmental causes. International efforts. Amigos is a program that operates in Costa Rica, Colorado, given Tuesday at first part of any official event associated with the day, but those who want to can visit volunteermatch.org to look for volunteering opportunities in and around the communities. Employers and even local governments also may sponsor or host events on Giving Tuesday. Twitter users also can use the hashtag Giving Tuesday to promote causes and encourage donations throughout the day. Some organizations may match users' donations up to a predetermined dollar amount, and users can enter blood components: red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and plasma. Whole blood is used to treat blood loss that occurs during an injury or surgery. Patients in need of plasma may have cancer, immunodeficiencies, or rare diseases that can benefit from plasma treatment. Additionally, there is a global demand for plasma-derived medicines such as immunoglobulin, according to the New Deficiency Foundation. One patient who needs IG for a year requires 130 to 1200 plasma donations to procure enough plasma. Plasma is separated from whole blood, and there is not enough plasma in the whole blood supply to cover the demand for whole blood as well as plasma separately. Eligibility. Donors must meet some eligibility requirements according to the American Red Cross. Blood. Blood can be donated once every 56 days. Individuals must be in good health, at least 16 years old in most areas, and must weigh at least 110 pounds. Plasma. All blood types can give plasma, but only AB plasma type is universal. People with AB blood are considered elite plasma donors. Plasma can be donated once every 28 days. Good health is required, and donors must be at least 17 years old and weigh no less than 110 pounds. Donors also can donate red blood cells and platelets separately from whole blood or plasma. There are different eligibility requirements for these blood components. Time commitment. It takes roughly 60 minutes to make a whole blood donation, says HHS. Plasma donation wait times can vary. An initial donation can take about 2 hours, while a subsequent donation may be 90 minutes. Benefits. Apart from a feeling of satisfaction from helping others, donating blood can help save the lives of up to 3 people. Since plasma donations are so important and there is a greater time commitment to donation, some plasma donors are financially reimbursed. Preparation. Individuals interested in donating blood products are urged to maintain a healthy lifestyle. 24 hours before the appointment, the American Red Cross recommends drinking 9 to 13 cups of water and an additional 2 cups prior to the donation. Meals full of iron and protein are essential in caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, and fatty foods should be avoided. Donating whole blood, plasma, and other blood products can make a difference in the lives of many. Visit www.redcrossblood.org to learn more about becoming a blood donor. You're listening to the Radio Station for the Burns Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Lab would like to thank you as well as WUNL-FM for providing the radio signal that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. Now, midway through, how to get back. Oh, perfect. Did you know? happens as the healthcare workers catch their breath. Donate more than just your time and effort. An actively engaged general public can reassure healthcare workers that they're not alone in the fight against COVID-19 and other potentially deadly viruses and diseases. While blood is not used to treat COVID-19, various health organizations, including the U.S. Surgeon General's office, have expressed concerns that hospitals will not have enough blood on hand to treat accident victims and sick people who need blood to survive. Social distancing measures may be keeping potential blood donors away, but the American Red Cross is urging people to continue donating blood so healthcare workers can meet the needs of patient care. Supporting efforts to procure more funding for hospitals. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, both the American Hospital Association and the American Nurses Association have expressed hospitals' needs for more financial support as they continue to battle the virus. By supporting such efforts and encouraging others to do the same, people looking to give back can send a message to healthcare workers that they're supported and that their voices are being heard. Healthcare workers continue to confront the COVID-19 virus every day. Giving back to these valued members of the community is a great way to show just how much their efforts are appreciated. Factors to consider before donating to an overseas charity. There's no bad reason to support a good cause through donors, though donors must be careful in certain situations, particularly if they're considering donating to charities based overseas. The following are various factors donors in such instances may want to consider prior to making a donation. Tax benefits. The Internal Revenue Service notes that contributions to foreign organizations generally are not tax deductible. Well-meaning donors may not donate to a charity solely because of the tax benefits of providing such support. However, prospective donors may be able to afford to donate more to a good cause when they know they can ultimately deduct their donations to their upcoming tax returns. Overseas governments. Another factor to consider before donating is the stability of the local government where the organization operates. Japan is bound to donate to an overseas charity after seeing or reading reports of tragedies such as natural disasters or human rights violations. You'll need to be especially careful before donating to charities based in foreign countries. Aspiring to support victims of tragedies is a worthy goal, but prospective donors should first do everything they can to confirm that their donations will end up going toward the causes they're aiming to support and not to corrupt officials overseas. Domestic charities in the United States and Canada are vetted by various watchdog groups and regulated by certain government agencies, but there's no guarantee that such protocols are in place overseas. That can make it easier for criminals and corrupt officials in foreign countries to gain access to donations intended to help those in need. The experts at Schwab Charitable note that various charities based in the United States work overseas as well. Donors who can more properly vet charities based in foreign countries may be better off donating to U.S. or Canada-based charities with strong track records of working overseas. Rules. The rules that govern charitable donations apply to both charities and donors. Some organizations may be subject to sanctions from the United States government or the United Nations, and that can put even well-intentioned donors in potentially precarious positions. In addition, some organizations may be on terrorist, trade control, or fraud lists that can land donors in legal hot water. Schwabcharitable.org screens foreign charities to ensure donations will not go to organizations on such lists or those subject to sanctions. Donors can work with such intermediaries to protect themselves when donating to overseas charities. Safe rules for seniors to volunteer. The rollout of various COVID-19 vaccines has allowed vaccinated individuals to return to a certain degree of pre-pandemic normalcy. However, the threat posed by strains of the virus, like the Delta variant, has made some seniors apprehensive. interactions may be too risky during the pandemic, facilities can still volunteer via contactless opportunities. For example, in lieu of delivering meals by hand, seniors who work with an organization such as Meals on Wheels can deliver pre-packed meals outside recipients' residences. Pitching with fundraising. A report from Giving USA released in 2021 revealed that Americans gave more to charity in 2020 than in 2019. That increase came in spite of an economic downturn that saw millions of people lose their jobs or take pay cuts as companies scrambled to deal with lost revenue related to the pandemic. Though giving might have increased in 2020, many nonprofit organizations, including local community brothers, likely suffered due to cancellations and audience restrictions. As a result, many local nonprofit organizations are in need of financial support. Seniors who want to pitch in, but stay safe can volunteer to help local organizations raise funds. Offer professional expertise. Many seniors retired after spending decades mastering their crafts, and that experience can be an invaluable resource to local nonprofit organizations. Seniors can offer professional advice and mentoring used remotely via apps like Zoom without putting their physical health at risk. Seniors concerned for their safety can still lend a hand by volunteering with their favorite nonprofit organizations. Family-friendly and volunteering opportunities. The following are some family-friendly options parents can consider as they look to volunteer with their children. Food drive. Participating in a food drive is a great way for families to give back together. Kids of all ages can pitch in on a food drive. Parents can take children to the grocery store and let them pick items to donate. Kids also can accompany their parents to pick up donated items and drop them off at the local food bank. Toy drive. Toy drives are popular come the holiday season, and children of all ages may enjoy picking items that they know will help to make the holiday season special for other youngsters. If toy drive organizations don't request specific items, ask kids which toys they would recommend or encourage kids to donate lightly used items they no longer use. Children are enthusiastic givers, and toy drives are a great opportunity to illustrate how good it feels to help those in need. Park bench cleanups. Human beings are stewards of the environment, so what better way to instill that lesson in children than to volunteer to clean up local parks and beaches? Kids will look forward to a day in the great outdoors that take pride in knowing that they did their part alongside their parents to make their favorite green spaces and beaches cleaner for their communities. Soup kitchens. In 2020, Feeding America, a nationwide network of more than 200 food banks, cited a study that found 67% of food banks were in need of volunteers. Many volunteers, a significant percentage of which are seniors, stopped volunteering during the COVID-19 pandemic out of fear of catching the virus. The successful rollout of COVID-19 vaccines for adults and children over 12 has reduced the risk of serious illness from the coronavirus. Their parents must consider various factors before volunteering in the era of COVID. Fully vaccinated families can work with local food banks to safely offer their time. Such efforts can teach children valuable lessons about the importance of giving back, and many food banks have altered their operations to make it safe for volunteers to lend a helping hand. The value of activity-driven fundraisers. Activity-driven fundraisers are another popular way for nonprofit organizations to raise funds, and new endeavors can be highly effective. What are activity-driven fundraisers? Activity-driven fundraisers focus on an engaging activity that encourages supporters to actively participate in an effort to raise funds. The Ice Bucket Challenge is one of the more notable activity-driven fundraisers in recent years. Participants in the challenge would pour a bucket of ice water over their heads or the head of another person, and then challenge or nominate another person to follow suit. Participants also would urge donations to support research into amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, an incurable motor neuron disease also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Additional examples of activity-driven fundraisers are runs and walks in which participants solicit donations from supporters that increase with each mile they walk or run. The American Cancer Society's Breast Cancer Awareness 5K Walk and Fun Run is one popular activity-driven fundraiser that annually attracts sizable numbers of participants and donors. Are activity-driven fundraisers effective? The sheer volume of activity-driven fundraisers make it more difficult to gauge the success of these events. However, a recent study technology can offer to lend a hand or provide an answer and site in support of the school's IT staff. Club official. Extracurricular clubs also can benefit from parents willing to work as volunteers. Parents can help students who want to start new clubs or serve as moderators or helpers in existing clubs. Organizer. Schools host many functions in a typical school year, and officials typically ask parents to pitch in so such events can be successful. For example, parents can help organizing school fundraisers, dances, and holiday bazaars. Assistant coach. Many schools pay stipends to the head coaches of their athletic teams, but parents can serve as unpaid assistants or support staff during the season. For example, parents can volunteer to work as game day staff, taking tickets at the gate or directing ticket holders where to park. Speaker. High schools may host periodic career days throughout the school year to help students on the senior USP of applying to college uncover potential career paths. Parents with significant professional experience in a given field can offer to speak to students on career days, sharing information about their careers and industries, and answering any questions students may have. Administrative support. Parents can also pitch to help with behind-the-scenes administrative duties like letter writing, grant proposals, and other projects that play a vital role in securing funding for school programs and other services. Parents who want to give back to their communities can make an active role in their children's schools. Characteristics of effective mentors. Mentors play invaluable roles in the lives of millions of young people across the globe. Many successful mentors tend to have certain characteristics that lend themselves to the significant yet rewarding challenge. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is essential in mentoring young people. Young people will quickly realize if a mentor is enthusiastic or simply going through the motions. In the latter instance, mentors can quickly alienate the people they're trying to help if they appear disinterested or give the impression that they're there because they have to be and not because they want to be. So true. No one has to become a mentor, so professionals who lack the enthusiasm necessary to be a successful mentor can look for other ways to lend a hand. Listening skills. Though it's not uncommon for mentors to give advice, it's also imperative that mentors learn to listen to the people they're trying to help. The American Speech Language Hearing Association notes that a willingness to serve as a sounding board is one of the many characteristics displayed by excellent mentors. Though mentors can share their own perspective, it's important that they also listen to what their mentees have to say. Availability, accessibility. A successful mentor has enough time to make the mentor-mentee relationship worthwhile for both parties. Professionals with especially hectic schedules may not be as available or accessible as they need to become successful mentors. Professionals who are flexible and able to routinely meet with their mentees can utilize that accessibility to build strong relationships. Non-judgmental. The AHSA notes that an ability to listen without judging is also a characteristic of an excellent mentor. Mentees may be reluctant to open up if they think their mentor is judging, and that reluctance will make it difficult for the relationship to be successful. Diversity of experience. Successful mentors tend to have a diversity of experiences or a recognition of the value of such diversity. The diversity of experience increases the likelihood that mentors can relate to whatever situation their mentees are in. That can be a useful attribute that mentors use to build strong bonds with their mentees. There are ways to get involved in local politics. 1. Volunteer with the campaign. Local politicians may be your neighbor, your children's youth sports coach, or a family known since childhood. All political campaigns rely on the efforts of volunteers to get their messages out, and that's especially so in local elections. Local candidates likely don't have the financial war chest that's available to statewide or national politicians. As a result, local politicians often use the charities and donuts. The following are a handful of the many ways charitable men and women can incorporate giving into their estate plans. Bequest giving in a will or living trust. Perhaps the most widely known way to include charitable giving in an estate plan is to bequest money in a will or living will. The Community Foundation runs note that bequests typically allow donors to define how their donations will be spent or utilized. That benefits charitable organizations, but surviving family members also can benefit from such arrangements. According to LawDepot.com, individuals may be able to lower the estate taxes on their estates at their time of death if they bequest money to an eligible charitable organization in their wills. Consider a charitable rollover. The Internal Revenue Service notes that individuals with an IRA, SAP IRA, Simple IRA, or Retirement Plan account generally must begin withdrawing money from these accounts when they reach age 72. These withdrawals are called required minimum distributions, and they are considered taxable income. However, individuals who want to give to charity can opt for a Qualified Charitable Distribution, or a QCD. A QCD counts toward the minimum distribution from retirement accounts, and individuals will not be taxed on the money they donate to charity. That's a win-win for charity and individuals 72 and older who do not need to withdraw money from their IRAs to meet daily living expenses. Donate via a charitable remainder trust. A charitable remainder trust, or CRT, allows individuals to set up a trust that benefits both a designated beneficiary and a charity or charities of their choosing. When a CRT is set up, a beneficiary will receive annual payments from the trust until it terminates, at which time the remaining funds in the trust are donated to charity. The philanthropy experts at Fidelity Charitable note that individuals can name themselves as the beneficiaries of the trust, which ensures they will have an income during retirement and that their favorite charities will be supported when the trust expires. Simple ways to give back every day. Giving back to your community can require a big commitment, but there are simple ways to give back each day as well. Whether you're strapped for time and can't volunteer, simply want to do a little more than you already do to support collections, the clothes are gently used items that can be delivered to the needy. One popular retail collection has been going strong for decades at McDonald's Restaurant in support of many McDonald's House charities. Checkout charities. Checkout charities are another way that campaigns raise money. Becoming various forms, some require customers to purchase a paper card that is displayed at the store, and their donations made to particular charities such as Children's Miracle Network or the ALS Foundation. Many stores, both national retailers and mom-and-pops, have roundup charities that enable customers to round up their change to the nearest whole dollar on credit card transactions and donate the difference the charity the store is assisting. Through the Roundup app, debit and credit card transactions provide a stream of recurrent donations. The link between volunteering and academic performance. There are many reasons for parents to encourage children who express an interest in volunteering. Volunteering is a social activity that can help children develop their social and networking skills, and many parents credit volunteering with instilling a sense of perspective in their children that they may not have gained had they not been exposed to people from different backgrounds. Though a 2019 Pew Research study reported that most schools admit more than two-thirds of their applicants, that figure is significantly lower at many of the more highly rated institutions in the United States. For example, Stanford University, 4.3%, and Harvard University, 4.9%, recently reported acceptance rates below 5%. Though volunteering alone won't help applicants gain acceptance to such competitive institutions, it can serve as a strong resume builder. I believe this part was written more in the beginning as well. The effects of volunteering on volunteers' well-being. A recent analysis examining the potential correlation between volunteering and well-being found that volunteering is associated with the higher well-being as well as a positive change in well-being. Authors of the study, which was published in the Journal of Happiness Studies in March of 2020, acknowledged that evidence pertaining to the correlation between volunteering and well-being has accumulated gradually in recent years, though they feel their study offers the most realistic assessment to date in regard to that link. That's good news for volunteers, many of whom may be quick to point out that they get as much as they give when volunteering. Recent analysis support that notion and may compel millions more to make time to give back through volunteering. Though more studies are needed, the Cleveland Clinic notes that some of the health benefits often associated with volunteering include low blood pressure, increased self-esteem, lower levels of depression and stress, and greater sense of satisfaction with life. What to look for on a 990 form. Nonprofit organizations are monitored by watchdogs such as Charity Navigator, which evaluates hundreds of thousands of charitable organizations in the United States. Watchdog organizations can be invaluable resources for donors who also can do some of their own research prior to donating to a charity. One way individuals can begin to form a clear picture of a charity is via a Form 990. What is a Form 990? Form 990 is a form filed with the Internal Revenue Service. Any nonprofit organization that takes in $50,000 or more in a year must file a Form 990 with the IRS. The form includes financial information about a nonprofit organization and is accessible to the public. Various watchdog organizations analyze Form 990 when assessing nonprofit organizations. What to look for on Form 990? A significant amount of information is included on the Form 990. That information can help donors get an idea of how an organization operates. Programs. Seasoned donors want to know how much nonprofit organizations spend on the programs designed to meet their missions. A Form 990 includes information about program spending, which may indicate how much of every dollar goes to programs. In perpetual volunteering opportunities. Other organizations like Goodwill, the United Nations, and even AARP offer online volunteering opportunities. Resources such as Volunteer Match also can connect interested parties with organizations that have virtual volunteer options. The following are a few additional ways to become a virtual volunteer. Manage social media accounts. Charitable organizations recognize the importance of a social media presence so prospective volunteers can offer to help nonprofits keep their social media accounts updated and viable. Assist those without sight. Volunteers with BEMA eyes can provide important assistance to blind or low-vision individuals. Virtual video calls enable volunteers to communicate with people directly and provide help. Offer tutoring or teaching. Virtual learning has become the main norm in many different school districts. Parents who may need assistance with children adapting to remote learning can benefit from quality educators willing to lend their time and skill sets. Design and build websites. Organizations may have trouble finding time to keep their websites updated with the latest information. Writers may be needed to keep blogs current, while coders can improve sites and make them more secure. Assist call centers. People may have various questions and needs in a time of crisis. Volunteers can be used in retail call centers, online therapy lifelines, and even school offices. Remote technology enables calls to be parsed out and answered by volunteers working from home. Transit emails and phone calls. Train leaders are always in demand in an increasingly global society. Armenian men and women can volunteer as translators so their favorite charitable organizations can effectively overcome any language barriers that may exist between their staffs and the people they're trying to help. Seven ways to be a good volunteer. 1. Educate yourself about an organization. Research volunteer organizations' missions and goals before you get involved. Understanding their process can make you more effective right out of the gate. Furthermore, directors will appreciate that you took the initiative to learn more about the organization before you signed up. 2. Bring your enthusiasm and energy. Enthusiasm and energy for the cause may motivate others to take action. Being high energy also may make you more fun to be around, which your fellow volunteers will appreciate. 3. Be honest about your interests. The more interested you are in an activity, the more likely you are to live when you're doing it. That goes for anything, including volunteering. Be honest about what you want to get out of volunteering and seek opportunities to help you achieve these goals. 4. Be dependable. As a volunteer, you should arrive when you say you will. Stay the duration of time you promised and perform the tasks you agreed to perform. People will be relying on you, so it's important to honor your commitment. 5. Be prepared to be flexible. Volunteers often must take on many different roles, and the willingness to jump in on any task and help is a hallmark of great volunteers. 6. Embrace your creativity. Thinking outside of the box is a strength in a volunteer. It means you can examine the situation from all sides and other and offer innovative solutions. 7. Be selfless. Above all, giving time to a cause you believe in is all about putting others before yourself. Figure out what you can give rather than what you can get. How to find the right volunteering opportunity. Volunteering is a great way to strengthen communities and support good causes. Adults looking to volunteer for the first time may be overwhelmed by the sheer volume of opportunities to lend a hand. Finding the right volunteering opportunity requires careful consideration of a host of factors, including some that people new to volunteering may be unaware of. Time. One way to narrow down your volunteering opportunities is to consider how much time you have to give back. If your schedule is often hectic, it may be hard to honor a commitment to weekly volunteering. In such instances, signing up for a weekend park cleanup once per month or another opportunity that requires a similar commitment of time might make the most. were deemed low risk for getting sick from COVID-19 restore prioritize safely. Restore prioritize safety, as friends, family members, or neighbors may be more vulnerable. Many organizations have gone to great lengths to protect their volunteers and the people they're trying to help, so don't be afraid to inquire about protocols before signing up. Protect yourself against crowdfunding scammers. Many crowdfunding efforts are legitimate. However, consumers should still take a cautious approach and exercise due diligence before donating to such ventures. Confirm credentials prior to donating. Consumer Reports note that crowdfunding sites verify that page creators have Facebook pages. However, the existence of those pages alone does not mean a crowdfunding effort is legitimate. In addition, the Better Business Bureau notes that some crowdfunding platforms do a better job of vetting products and postings than others. A regular creator's Facebook page looks at potential red flags. A page with a limited history that seems to have been created right before the crowdfunding effort was started is a red flag. Learn more about the creator. Legitimate crowdfunding effort that's worthy of their donation should be transparent. Creators should be forthcoming about their backgrounds and their expertise in the field. Beware of emotional appeals. The BBB note that scammers often rely on emotional appeals, and these appeals imply a sense of urgency indicating money is needed right away. Donors should be wary of such appeals and conduct their due diligence even if the page says the situation is urgent. Donate via specialized crowdfunding websites. The BBB notes that some crowdfunding sites are dedicated to specific types of fundraising efforts, such as medical funding or projects focused on raising money for education. According to the BBB, these sites are more likely to sniff out scams than general crowdfunding sites that may have trouble keeping up with the volume of new efforts and pages posted each day. The differences between crowdfunding campaigns. The FTC knows that crowdfunding has become a popular way for inventors to fund projects, but people considering donating to a crowdfunding effort should know that there are different types of crowdfunding. Donation-based crowdfunding. The Consumer Federation of America says donation-based crowdfunding campaigns are the most popular crowdfunding efforts for first-time fundraisers and donors. These campaigns typically set a specific dollar amount goal and then solicit supporters for donations. The CFA warns that fraudulent donation-based campaigns are common, while the FTC indicates that scammers often try to play off a legitimate, successful campaign as part of their attempts to deceive donors. Rewards-based campaigns. The CFA notes that money collected via rewards-based campaigns is considered a donation. However, such campaigns typically offer rewards to donors who donate specific amounts of money. It's important that donors read the fine print before donating to such endeavors, as some may mistakenly believe they will get the product they're funding for free when it eventually gets to market. That's not necessarily the case, so donors must confirm the details prior to donating to these types of campaigns. Equity-based campaigns. According to the CFA, the main difference between equity-based campaigns and other crowdfunding efforts is that donors can earn dividends above their initial contributions. That makes supporting equity-based crowdfunding campaigns more akin to investing than donating. Debt-based campaigns. Similar to equity-based campaigns, debt-based campaigns more closely resemble investments than donations. The CFA notes that when contributing to debt-based crowdfunding campaigns, backers are investing in a piece of the project or the company's current debt with the understanding that their contributions will be repaid with interest over time. Crowdfunding raises billions of dollars each year. Donors considering contributing to crowdfunding efforts should take time to understand which type of effort they're thinking of supporting before donating. Now that is the end of this session. Thank you for listening to Lawyer Association for the Blind Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. There are many ways to listen to Lab Radio. Request a free specialized radio receiver, or for more information about our radio reading service, call Lab.
tuned for more heading your way next on the Talking Information Center.
People with disabilities and people who are legally blind can now apply for free or reduced MBTA fares online. The online applications for the MBTA's free or reduced fare programs offer riders a convenient method to apply for and receive a new free or reduced fare Charlie card without having to visit the Charlie Card store. Riders can apply to these respective programs remotely and easily online from a computer or mobile device in English, Chinese, Spanish, and Portuguese. Each application allows applicants to securely enter their personal information and upload the required documents, such as a photo ID and eligibility documentation. All online applications are accessible to screen readers and were tested by free and reduced fare riders to ensure usability. Riders who submit their email address as part of their application will receive application status notifications, including details on how to use their card if approved. In addition to the online applications, the MBTA recently removed rider photos, names, and expiration dates from senior Charlie cards for people 65 and older to simplify the card fulfillment process for these riders. Riders who apply for a new or replacement senior Charlie card will now receive the new reduced fare Charlie cards for seniors, which are valid for 8 years. Riders with current senior Charlie cards can utilize them until they expire. To learn more about the MBTA's free and reduced fare programs and how to apply online, visit this website, mbta.com.